of you in my life.
Would you come up and give us a 5-minute encouragement based on 3 scriptures from the Bible? Or you could just lead us in a prayer of encouragement today.
Awesome. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's really good to see you guys all. I feel like I haven't been here between vacations and stuff. I haven't seen you guys in a long time. It's really good to see all of your faces. I don't know about all of you, but I know that this seems to be a really hard season. I know that raising very young children in 2020 has caused quite a bit of anxiety in my life, and I have found myself constantly, when I lay down to go to bed at night, just repeating, "Thank you, Lord, that you are in control." Because that is the only hope and the only solace that I can find in this time, is knowing that my God is in control and my God cares for me and loves me. He's not some distant God or a puppet master who's in control. He's a God who cares deeply for me and who cares deeply for my children, so I can place my trust in him. So I know that this is a strange time, and I feel like every day we log on to our social media and see even more bad news, even more anxiety triggering events going on all around the world. But I just want to encourage you guys that God is still in control, no matter what's going on around us, and he loves us. The God that is in control of the universe loves you. So take hope in that, take encouragement in that today. And we're just going to pray and thank the Lord. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that no matter what's going on around us, that we know that you are in control. Lord, thank you that you never leave your people without hope, that you never leave your children without a reason to trust in you. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you that we can trust you and that you are guiding us and walking with us, and no matter what's going on, that we are never alone. Thank you, Lord, for your peace in this time, and thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Anyone going out to doing hikes? Anyone do hikes? Like, we're in Colorado Springs, and for 4 years, people told us we need to do hikes, and so our family has probably at least one hike a week we go on. And this last one, Cynthia and I went, we didn't even expect it to be a hike. We were just going on a walk in our neighborhood, and we took a little trail to the left, and it was a rocky trail, and it just kept going, and we walked, and we found ourselves at Texas Roadhouse. And I felt like God had called us there to eat, but it was only 10 in the morning, so we didn't eat. But I think that's, I'm going to just bring it back somehow. Here's the transition. I think that's like what God's just doing with us. Come on. Is he taking us on a journey right now? I believe that we're going to get through this one day and say, what in the heck was going on? And we're going to start to see a little bit more clearly. This is not the clear stage. This is the blurry stage. And do I make a joke again? How often I thought they go all the way to, they were just here, like, there must be more than one bus. But they never stop, they never stay, they just leave. They never stay here and listen. So I'll try to be more interesting right here to get them here. So anyways, I won a lot of money the other day. No, I'm trying to get there. No, God is taking us on a journey, and we're in a very blurry stage right now, but one of these days it's going to get clearer and we're going to start to understand. But until we get there, we still need to look at the mirror to our lives, and also the Word of God that is also like a like a microscope, kind of like a telescope that helps us to see things we don't see. So we're going to look at the Word of God. When you look at the Word of God, it clears things up for you a bit. It gives you a little bit more faith. So we're going to look at that today. I want to say, I don't do this ever, but my friend Scott is here today. Hi, Scott. He just moved here, and his two daughters, I know, they're pastors, Foursquare pastors in other places, and so you got to give them special cred, because I know what it's like to have a pastor as a kid, and I know what it's like to be a pastor's kid. So anyways, we're glad you're here in town. Make sure to make him feel welcome today. I don't usually do that, but it's one of those things today I got to do. So series has been reminding us that when defeat, the series is called Surrounded. When defeat surrounds us, listen, when despair outnumbers us, when trials distract us, last week we talked about being distracted from who to give our worship. We're distracted when these kind of things happen to us. God surprises and surrounds us with his presence. I told you I would bring you encouragement today. You will leave here encouraged whether you want to or not. You will look at life a little bit more with joy, because you know that God surrounds you with his presence. He outnumbers your enemies with his protection. And he certainly brings victory through his power. Amen? As Gideon won against all odds, we talked about him the last couple of weeks. We're not going into his story again today. But you know, as Gideon, everything was against Gideon, yet Gideon found victory. And I think that we need to understand that if you feel like things are against you, like you'll blame some things that are just things that happen in life. Like this week, our whole street, not our house, but a lot of people got graffitied in our neighborhood. And I can imagine they were thinking, this is, you know, they put everyone's against me, right? Sometimes things just happen. But when things around you seem to be against you, you seem to be against all odds, a great movie and a great song. But it's true, when we seem to be against all odds, God is still on the throne. Like Pastor Christian said, God is still working. You can take faith in him. You can rest in him, regardless. If we are in a pandemic, or if we are in unrest, injustice, the enemy right now still is afraid. He is afraid of you. He's afraid of the Christ in you. He is afraid of God. And God still sits squarely, securely, firmly on the throne. Now the question is, does he sit on the throne of my heart, of my life? Well, regardless of whether he does, yes he does, by the way, but whether he sits on the throne of my life squarely or not, he still is on the throne, and he's still working and still in charge. So listen, it's not about statistics. It's not about the latest news report. It really isn't about a pandemic or about injustice in our country. It's not about religion. I think God is helping us to put on new wine and new wineskins to understand it's not all about religion. It's not all about race. It's not all about sides, politics even. It's about, let me give you a news flash, and this is the real news. This news is true. God is who he said he is. He is I am. He is El Olam, God of eternity. He is God El Roy, the God who sees. He is God El Yan, the God who is sovereign and supreme. That's a little bit of theology for you today. He's standing in victory. It reminds me of the story in Judges and Joshua, I think it is, and he's like, he's getting ready to have a battle, and he sees God. He sees an angel up on the mountaintop, and he says, "Whose side are you on? And are you on their side or are you on our side?" And the angel says, neither. I'm not on either side. I'm God, for crying out loud. I know I don't have to be on a side. So listen, as we keep it, this is almost like a secondary thing to what I want to say today. But if we keep it about Jesus, if we keep it about Christ, if we keep it about God, we'll never err on one side or another. We'll always win. But when we start to try to think it's about this and them, him and us, it's love your neighbor as yourself and then love your enemy. So we want to be on the side of God. We will find that we will walk in victory when we do this. God will surround us in the middle of distress, despair, disease, disturbance, disaster, whatever. So I'm convinced in this season that we're in, where we would love to complain, love to make excuses for why life is not good, I'm convinced that we will look back on, I think 2020, maybe, I hope it won't be 2020 and 2021. We'll look back on whatever these days are, and we will see that God has been working in our families, in our personal lives. He's going to be giving us new hearts, new wineskins, new wine, new ways to look at life, new love. Supernatural love, supernatural strength, supernatural faith, and the list could go on. I believe that we're going to be, after this is over, we're going to have greater tenacity, greater maturity, a fighting worship, fighting faith that can bring revival like we haven't seen before. I really believe that'll happen. I really believe if revival is going to happen, we have to go through some refining. Although our church doesn't need any refining, do we? Because we're perfect. So it's not our church, but no, we need to go through some refining. As Paul said, while imprisoned, while shipwrecked, while hungry, while in need, he said, I, in 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body, and this is kind of profound, I won't explain it, but I'll just read it. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in that same body. So we're surrounded negatively, but we are also surrounded positively, so that we may shine Jesus to those around us. The first message we called outnumbered. The second message we called out worshiped. And this one I want to call outgrown. We've already prayed, and I pray that you open our ears today. Lord, we pray that we outgrow some things in our life that we don't need. I pray that we outgrow some petty arguments, some disunity. I pray that we would outgrow immaturity. Lord, I pray that we would outgrow our small faith in Jesus' name. I found this last 6 months that I've outgrown some clothes. I used to be a medium. I used to be a medium. I would go to the store and get the tapered fit medium. And somewhere along the way, I became a large. And that's not funny. You're not supposed to laugh at this. I'm just trying to tell you what I'm dealing with right now. And then being large. This is the worst part about it, and maybe it's just a midlife crisis. I'm 46, I've never had one, and I'm gonna just open up to, maybe I'm having just a bit of one, because I never used to like look in the mirror at myself, or like very, very long. I just like, yeah, I'm good looking, fine, I'm good. No, you know, I just didn't worry about it, I didn't care about it. But I find myself looking longer at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, man, a large is too small. I'm going to have to go to an extra large, and I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. So I will stay in a large shirt. I'll even get tapered. I think this is probably a tapered H&M shirt, I think. And as long as I need to, until someone says, change, move up. I'm hoping to move down. So it is tough. It is tough. I have grown in that way. But I want to tell you some things we need to outgrow in this season. We don't need to outgrow our clothes. Don't outgrow your clothes. Don't smile over there and laugh and make jokes. I don't need that over there. The peanut gallery over there. Yes, thank you, Patrick. It's the first time I saw everyone smile, so let's just talk about it. I think I hit on something. I'm not gonna have you raise your hand, but maybe you've outgrown some clothes, but I think God wants you to grow into some new clothes, almost like the, and I'm working on another message about wineskins, and I keep bringing them up, and I need to just stop, but it's kind of like he's giving us new clothes shopping. We're getting some new wineskins, but outgrowing clothes is for kids, all right? I just want to say that, but we need to outgrow some things, and I prophetically want to call them out in you. I believe that God wants us all to do this. This is completely biblical. I'm not making something up here. I'm just taking it right from the Word of God. Three areas we should outgrow during this season. Number one, outgrow your expectations. Our expectations in these days are so low. They are so, I'm trying to think of an adjective to add to that. They're very low. Our expectations, if I could only just sit in a Chick-fil-A, I would be happy. It would be a miracle. That's all I want, God. That's what we're praying these days. We need to realize our expectations are so low. God has so much more he wants to do in us. In this time, it's not a time to lower your expectations. It's time to raise them. When God raises his, ups his expectations, up yours. Okay? My friend used to say that, and I guess it didn't go over so well, but probably shouldn't say that in church. Up yours. I mean, if we can, we've been setting the bar so low. There's a group called the Israelites that we don't like to relate with. We don't want to relate to them, but they set the bar pretty low as well. They were great at that. They were great when God did something great. They would set the bar lower, and they'd complain and whine and cry. I have to say, we're like them. That's why we have to bring them up all the time. That's why their story is so long in Exodus. But in Exodus 14, verse 10, it says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up. There they were, the Egyptians marching after them. It was right after they left Egypt. They're walking along, and then they see them coming. They got scared. Sounds like Americans. They got scared, terrified, cried out. They said to Moses, was it because there was not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? Is that why we're out here in the desert? I think our prayers are like that often. Was it not like our lives were terrible enough that now we're in this situation? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, Moses, so that we may serve the Egyptians? It's better for us. It's better for us, and there's a lot to this. We won't go into it, but better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert. That was their expectation. We'd rather just be slaves our whole life than die in the desert. Let me tell you something. We want to go back to the way things were before. I'm not about to say right now, it'll never be the same, but it'll never be the same. But what if we want to go back to the way things were before, but let me give you a different perspective. God never wastes a trial. I don't know, it's not caused by him, maybe, perhaps, but he never wastes a trial in your life. He is not going to waste this time. It's not going to be left. You say, well, I didn't pass. I haven't passed the last 3 months. Definitely the first 3 months I didn't pass. God's not looking at your pass or fail right now. He's looking, you completed it. You did. You made it through. And he won't waste a trial. He loves you too much to leave you the way you were in 2019. You weren't who you needed to be yet. And maybe you still aren't who you need to be yet. But he's not going to leave you that way. He's called you out of Egypt. He's called you out of the past. He's called you out of something before, and I'm not trying to reach and find something in here that's not here. That's who God is. He brings life out of your death, out of others' death, out of the world's death. He brings life. Can I prophesy over one person, two people, hopefully everyone in the parking lot today? I'll prophesy over my family at least. I'll prophesy over the Alangis. I'll prophesy all over all of us that he's going to outgrow your reputation, outgrow your expectation in your family. He will. Your expectation in your family is so-so. It might be a high expectation, but he's going to outgrow it. Well, how do you know that? You don't know what we deal with. No, I don't. But I definitely know that God is in the business of taking death and making it life. So you think your family is great? He's going to outgrow it. He's going to do something even greater. He's going to outgrow your expectation if you're married, if you're getting married. He's going to outgrow that expectation you have for your marriage. You want your marriage to be better? So does God. He's going to outgrow it. He's going to outgrow your expectation for your kids that are away from God. He's got greater expectations than you do. Don't you believe that in this time? Don't you believe that God is working more right now in your extended family than he ever has? Maybe they're complaining more than they've ever had. They're suffering more. They're having a tougher time than they have ever had. But guess what? I bet you they think a little bit more about God during this time. God is working in that situation. Right, Jaden? God is working. Amen. God is working in your job or in your lack of job. He is getting ready to set you up for a better job. I loved what I saw from Kimber Williams this week. She was telling all this negative stuff, and then she gave the positive spin that God, think of what God might be doing in your job. How can he? I'm at an all-time low with my family, in my marriage, with my kids, with my job. How could he outgrow my expectations? That's what he does. God would say to you, as he said through Moses, the next verse, picking up verse 13. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Said over and over in the Bible more than anything else. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. Don't work. Don't work, 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 work. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you won't ever see them again. You won't ever see them again. The Lord will fight for you. Guess what you need to do? Well, you need to make sure you're in church 4 times a week. Make sure you read your Bible 8 times a week. Those are all good. But no, he doesn't say that. He just says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Be still. Egyptians represent lots of things in the Bible. The biggest thing they represent is our sin, our strongholds, the things in our life that keep us back. He says in this scripture, you're never going to see them again. I'll take that for myself. You're never going to see those strongholds again. Interesting, the word stronghold means a prison that you built for yourself from lies. That's the Greek interpretation, translation of that. The Egyptians, let's move on. So I say to you today, may you never see them again. May you pray bigger prayers than Chick-fil-A. Dangerous prayers. May you believe for a promised land filled future. I guarantee the Israelites, when they saw the scary people coming after them, right when they got to the Red Sea, they were not looking at a future filled with promised land. They were looking at a future filled with more death, more destruction, more suffering, but that's not what happened. So another area I prophesy we need to outgrow your expectation. Number 2, outgrow your vision. That was the longest one. We're almost finished today. What time is it? It's a beautiful day, but I can't see a clock. Okay. Well, we're good. Outgrow your vision. Outgrow your expectation. Outgrow your vision. What do you see right now? If I was to ask, should I pick on the family? You're in the back row today. If I was to ask Kara, what do you see? What do you see for the future? What do you see? We'd see a lot of things that are negative. We'd look at it. We would say, well, I don't see a lot of great. I see a lot of blurry days. I see a lot of confusion. Can I tell you, outgrow your vision. I have a vision that I know that Rick and Marilyn, at least Rick, I think both of you would appreciate. My vision, here's my vision. It's very spiritual. It's like bigger than the Israelites. I envision a day where I go to a baseball stadium and I sit down. They had season tickets at the Rockies, so they would understand. I sit down and there's people all around me and I don't have to worry that they're screaming in my face and spilling their beer on me. That's my vision. That's it. And I can cheer for my team and watch the Cardinals beat the Rockies in the playoffs. That would be, my vision's getting bigger as I talk. That's about as big as our visions get these days, but God wants to outgrow them. The future does not have to include the Rockies, no. The future does not have to include Egypt. It does not have to include being complacent, being scared. The future does not have to include a world where people have prejudices. No one wants to. No one wants to be prejudiced of anyone else, do we? The world does not have to include that. At least in our, we have the choice for ourselves. The world does not have to include in the future brick making without mud. That's what they did. They built brick. They made bricks. Does not have to include any kind of slavery from addiction in our lives. You get the point. So my son Jaden, he's right over there. Oh, he's still sitting. Are you listening? Are you listening? You're being a good boy. He said today, are we having church at home or church outside? I said, church outside. He said, yay. I love that. That was a great, thank you for doing that. That encouraged me this morning. But Jaden has this thing he's been doing, and I think it's like a three-year-old thing or something. He's six, but he's starting to go through his, like, these times where he's having tempers. Like he has a temper sometimes. And if it doesn't go his way, like adults don't do this, but kids do. If it doesn't go his way, then he cries. And he didn't used to do that. Or he'll whine. Ah, it's the worst. I hate that whine. I don't like it when he whines. Do you whine sometimes, Jaden? You do whine, and we shouldn't whine, should we? It drives mom crazy, and it drives dad crazy. But I want to say to him, would you just stop? Because sometimes he'll whine about something that I'm planning to do for him. Like, can you get me a hot dog out of the fridge? He likes hot dogs. They're really easy. I know how to make a hot dog. He'll say, can I have a hot dog? And I'll say, yes, in a minute. And he'll say, I want one now. And he'll cry and he'll whine. And then he'll move on to something else because he'll forget about the hot dog. And he'll go on to something. And he'll whine about that. And I want to say to him, if you just stop whining and asking and crying, I'm gonna get it. I'm your dad. I helped. Haven't I not helped you every time? Have you starved yet? And then I slap him. No, I'm just kidding. I want to slap him. I want to shake him and say, just chill. I know what you want. I think God says that does the same with us. I think we're whining. I want this. I want this now. I want this now. I want this yesterday. And this hasn't happened for me. And God is like, would you just be still? Would you just let me fight for you? You only need to be still. The girl is coming. The girl will be there, Jared. And yes, I could prophesy, but you already met her, so it's good. You would have thought she had to come from a whole nother state, yet she showed up here going to Czechoslovakia or something. She happened to be through town here. And you met her. All you had to do is be still. Be still. God, hey, stop whining. I got this. It said that God said to Moses, the very next verse, I'm not like skipping around here. It says, why are you whining so much, Moses? Why are you crying out? Tell the Israelites, move on, guys. Move on. Move on. I'm with you. I'm coming. Cloud of fire, pillar of cloud, you know, all that stuff. I'm with you. Move on. We're walking together. Now, Moses, what I want you to do, raise your staff. I know it's just a stick, and I know this is a big ocean of water, but if anyone doesn't know this story, then we need to have a class and talk about this. But you know what happened, right? He put his stick up, and the ocean split in half. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, and the Israelites will go on dry land. Get a bigger vision for your family, for your life. Because God would say to you, that area that's usually flooding, that area that's usually the Red Sea that you can't walk on, I'm going to make it dry. That area that's usually not allowed, God is going to make it allowed. He's going to move whatever obstacle that's in the way. So lastly, I say outgrow your faith. Outgrow your vision. Outgrow your expectation. I need to outgrow my faith. Anyone else need bigger faith? Moses stretched out his hand over the river, over the ocean, over the sea, and the waters were divided. Let me tell you, you might have a giant obstacle right in front of you, keeping you from victory. Come on up here, my brother. Come on up here. Let's close this out right. But, you know, Jesus, even long time later, said, if there's a mountain in your way, just tell it, be removed. Same thing with the sea 2,000 years before. He said, the sea's in the way. I'm going to move it out of your way so that you can walk on dry ground. Would you just bow your heads with me today? Let's have a moment with God, a connecting moment with God. I know what I have to say is important to me, but what's more important is what God has to say to you. What the Holy Spirit wants to say to you personally in your moment, in your life, in your little spot in the desert on the way to your promised land. We all have a spot we're in. We all have a place we need to get to. We all have a gripe or a whine or a complaint or a criticism or a hurt that's causing us to be roadblocked. We all have it. All of us, it's different for all of us. Maybe you're looking to move to a new place. Maybe you just moved here. Maybe your kids are moving out. Maybe they're moving back in. Whatever your situation, I want to say to you today, if God did the same, for the Israelites what he did, and Jesus said, let this mountain be removed, he will still do the same for you today. Because Jesus, you could finish my sentence, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, would you outgrow my expectations? Tell them that right now. Lord, outgrow my expectation for what I expect for next year, what I expect for next month, what I even expect for next week, what I expect for when I wake up tomorrow. Would you outgrow my expectation? No, this is not positive affirmations with Dr. Hibden. We're just taking scripture and we're declaring it. We need to make sure that what we think about is based on scripture, not based on the news or based on even the surroundings that we live in. We need to base it on scripture. Jesus says, walk by faith, not by sight. Lord, would you outgrow our faith? Our faith for maybe you're believing for a healing in your body. Maybe you're believing for a job. Maybe you're believing for restoration in a relationship. Maybe you're believing for finances. Maybe you're believing for peace. And you don't have any peace. Lord, I pray that you outgrow our faith to believe for that. Lord, I pray that you outgrow our vision. I pray that we would be known as the people that love Jesus, Christ followers, the church at large, all of us. We would not be known for having small vision, but we would have a vision to include loving the people that love us And that we would even love the people that don't love us. That we would actually do what you said, love our enemies. Do wonderful things for our enemies, as the, I think the Message version says. Lord, that we would be known for having the kind of vision that just helps, loves everyone back to you, into your kingdom. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name. I want to say, I'm not a gardener. I want to declare that right now. That's not a very faithful thing to say, but I'm not very good at gardening, okay? We got some flowers, and this usually happens, so it's not just one time, but this year I got some flowers, and they died, and every that seems to happen every time I get flowers. They die. I try to do what I'm supposed to do. I read the instructions. Doesn't work. We had some kind of flowers that were yellowish, and they died. And I realized that they were. I had never taken them out of the black pot, like the plastic pot. You're supposed to take them out of that, Rick. I don't know if you knew that, because you probably don't know a lot about living on a ranch and everything. You want to understand, but you have to take them out of the black pot and then plant them in a bigger, place so that the roots can grow. And I think it's kind of like a picture of my life, and I would assume most of our lives, that at times we have such a small expectation, faith, vision, that our roots are ready to go somewhere else, but they don't have any place to grow, so they just root themselves in every temporary thing that's going on around us. We root in that, and there's no root there. What happens is that it dies, and we should have taken ourselves, put ourselves in a big area and get planted. And God would say to you, just plant yourself next to me, next to my stream. Let me cut you out of the plastic packaging and plant you so that you can thrive. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to thrive. Lord, help us have new clothes, new wineskins. Let the Holy Spirit take us to school and outgrow some elementary things and lead us to maturity, as Hebrews says. We love you today. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I have a couple of things to say, perhaps. Do we have any things I need to from you? The chairs, Thomas will help us with this. We're just putting the chairs right inside that room there. Okay, that's where we'll put them. Not everyone needs to help with that. There's a couple that will help. If you want to eat in a clean place, you smell the chair that's next to you. They smell so clean. They're the cleanest thing in the whole parking lot today. I love the smell of bleach, and that's what they smell like. That's good. They're clean. So if you want a place to eat, you can eat there. Feel free to stay as long as you want, but be, be caring of those around you, how close they want you. I don't know, want to shake hands or whatever. Just talk. You could smile. You can just give them space, but stay as long as you like. We're glad you're here today. Bless you. We'll see you next week.